I'm Presley.
And I'm Connor.
And this is the Server Life Podcast, where we candidly talk about the glamorous lifestyle of the service industry.
We share some of our own stories, along with some of yours, so we can all laugh and realize that we are not alone in this.
So feel free to subscribe, stick around, and join the conversation.
We love reading your comments, especially when it's praise. For me. This episode contains stories of restaurant employees using and abusing drugs and alcohol, sometimes on the clock. We do not condone this behavior, nor do we intend to suggest that these stories reflect the average food service worker. While we may laugh and make light of these particular situations, we acknowledge that addiction is no laughing matter and encourage anyone struggling with substance abuse to seek help. Hey guys, it's your hosts, Presley and Connor.
Stop!
We are on Zoom today, so we can see each other. We're doing it face-to-face. We're finally catching up to the times and getting through this quarantine weirdness in a more efficient way. It's good to see you.
I miss doing this face-to-face, Con.
Right? I know. It's nicer. So those of you listening, welcome back. This is the Server Life Podcast. Thank you for joining us. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at the Server Life Podcast and at server_life. And leave us some love, leave us good reviews on Apple Podcasts. That's like a tip for us. We love it.
For sure. Totally. And before we begin, we just want to reiterate that we absolutely are not condoning any of this behavior that we're going to be discussing. And we want to be clear that these stories do not represent how all servers act. They are a small percentage of people who let their personal lives kind of leak into their jobs. And now we can all laugh at it and not worry about losing our jobs, because at this point, we really don't have anything else to lose. We are going to keep them anonymous, just to protect everyone involved.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
The topic came out of an Instagram live that we did. So we went live on Instagram last week, and it was like really fun to engage with you all in real time. And as we were sharing stories about living the server life, one thing that kept coming up and that a lot of people brought up was working under the influence. Again, like Presley said, we know not everybody does it. We're not trying to suggest that everybody in the industry has a problem, but we all know that it happens. And some of us have had experiences ourselves. A lot of people had something to say about it. So we thought it'd be funny to have all of you kind of anonymously send your stories, and we'll read our favorites now. You all definitely did not disappoint. There was a lot to sort through and a lot to choose from.
We're savage, man. Do you have any fucked up stories? Or under the influence, like, I should say.
I'm such like a nerd. I get nervous talking about them. I definitely had a couple drinks on a break once, because it was like a double and lunch was slow. And so it was like we had a 2-hour break and me and a coworker got lunch. And I had a little bit more than I should have. I wasn't like a mess. But I hated it, because I got back to work and it was fun. I was like, at first I was like giggly, like, this is great. And then it started to wear off and I was like, oh, I can't do this job. And then I think it was maybe the first time, I was like a lot younger. I think it was like the first time I took Adderall, like recreationally, was because I had a double and I'd been up like all night the night before, like partying. And a friend of mine was like, here, take these, and gave me 2 Adderall. And I took them and got through the shift great. Like, I was like, whoa, let's do it. But I was also like sweating profusely and was like doing other people's side work and running around and was like, hey, everybody good? You need anything? I got your sodas ready over there. I'm going to go greet that table. Anybody want to greet that table? I got it. Don't worry about it. I'm going to run food. No, I got it. Thank you. Just like booking it around, sweating.
Adderall is the power drug. And I think that the stereotype of servers is, yeah, like servers are functioning alcoholics, they drink a lot. But also, I've heard so many stories of back of house, like just being on coke in general, because restaurants are so high paced and you need that. I think it's kind of weird how normal coke is in back of house. Surprisingly, not very many people sent coke stories in, though. personally, I definitely, of course, I've gone into work not totally sober, under the influence. But I think my worst situation was after a night of not drinking not sleeping and drinking until the sun came up, and then going in for a shift, and just, I had to go up to all of my coworkers. I think you might have been there. And I was like, hey guys, I am not a functioning human being right now. I need you to help me out. I didn't want to like get in trouble. But I every other time I feel like I've been able to manage myself and just kind of giggle and get by, but that was probably the worst shift that I had. Just like,
and get by, that should be your motto. Yeah, no, I think I remember that. Yeah, it's nice when you like know that it's your teammates will help you if you wind up in over your head. But I definitely I don't like working under the influence. I know there are people that come into work stoned all the time and it's like they have to for them. For me, no. Like I don't enjoy it. I'd rather be sharp and sober just for my own mental clarity and like my mental checklist as a server. Because we all have that thing where it's like you gotta know what's next. And if I have anything in me that shouldn't be, I'm like, I can't remember what I'm supposed to be doing.
No, totally. That's like going to work high is my worst nightmare. I've gone in on a perfect level, but there was a time when I thought I was smoking a more functioning strain of weed a couple hours before my shift. And I took a really big hit of like a really strong indica. And then it was like my worst nightmare just totally playing out. So props to that. But some of these stories are pretty good. Do you want to start? Let's just get into it. We're savage, man.
Okay. Again, these are all going to be anonymous for obvious reasons. Somebody sent in a story and said that, quote, "I was super wasted one night because of Jaeger shots that my bartender boyfriend made me after work. I slept in my car for a few hours at my job's parking lot. And then I still went in for my morning shift and I was the friendliest and happiest person that day while feeling like shit. Some of my coworkers could tell, but I didn't have any complaints. I didn't get in any trouble. I knew the consequences of drinking a night before a morning shift and still handled my responsibility of being a server. Call me Jaeger Master."
Jaeger Master. That's pretty epic. That reminds me of a story. I was drinking with a coworker one night. We didn't work the next morning, but we had a really big, it was a corporate restaurant. We had a big corporate meeting and we somehow managed to drive. We were like, oh, well, like we're not that fucked up yet. The meeting's in like 5 hours. We'll drive to work and we'll just drink in the car and like sleep in the car. So that's okay. Now I'm remembering I've had a situation like that. Savage, because then all of your coworkers are walking by your car and you're like rolling out. That's pretty savage, man. Okay, I have a good one. I was working on my birthday and I got blacked out on sake. I don't even remember closing. And then my manager offered me a ride home and I threw up on his car. Then I cleaned it up with the hose on the thing that you use to put air in your tires. And then I drank out of the hose.
Oh no.
I only know this story from what I had been told. I don't actually remember any of it happening.
Oh my God. That's nasty. That's rough. She drank out of like a hose at a gas station. Oh, I die.
Alcohol. Smart choices.
All right. Here's another one that says, I used to serve at a fine dining restaurant that was known for booking large parties in one of the many private dining rooms. I also bartended there, so I was tight with the bar crew and would usually just grab my drinks myself, including personal drinks. One night, I happened to take a Xanax, and well, perhaps I shouldn't have mixed that with my usual shots of Patron throughout the night. I ended up getting a 17-top, high-profile VIP table that was known for being high-maintenance. I found out about this the next day because I didn't even remember taking the table, but I made over $300 and they raved about my service. It just goes to show that when you got it, you got it.
Okay, first off, why would you take Xanax if you're going into a social set? Xanax is like a couch lock. My brain can't even comprehend how to like use my legs when I'm on Xanax, let alone mixing it with alcohol and showing up to work. You gotta be real good at what you do if you're doing that.
It's no wonder he doesn't remember.
But to not remember a 17 top, like I could imagine being really fucked up and being like, I don't know what happened, but I had a 17 top.
All I can think about is how I would fuck up all the orders. Like, I wouldn't know who ordered what. I wouldn't know where any of the drinks went. I would just, like, even if I managed to write it all down and put it in correctly, I would not have any idea of, like, what belonged where. I would just be like, okay. Yeah.
That's incredible. Props to you. I think that's just, like, a special talent. Put that on your resume. Yeah. Okay, here's another one.
Prospective employers would love to see that on a resume.
Don't worry, even if I get too fucked up, I can still make it work. Okay, here's a good one. I was going in for my first serving shift ever, and I was really nervous before. So being the stoner that I am, I thought taking one hit before would calm my nerves. Well, I was wrong. Somehow that one hit knocked me on my ass and I was stoned. I think everybody knew, or I was just being paranoid. Let's just say lots of mistakes were made that shift. On your first shift?
I would never. I feel like, I mean, no judgment, but that's not a choice that I would make in my life.
Yeah. Well, when you're a stoner, it's fun to do things high. And sometimes when you're always high, going and doing something not high can feel a little bit weird. So I get the way that she was thinking, also being a stoner. But for a first shift, no freaking shot. No shot. Especially if you're nervous, that would definitely make you paranoid.
Just like first impressions, you know what I mean? Like those go a long way. And if you just seem out of it on your first shift, it's going to take you a while before anybody thinks you're competent.
Oh, totally.
But she made it, or he or she, whoever it was, sounds like they made it. Here's another one. It was our friend's birthday and last day of work. It was a Sunday, of course, so we went to brunch before a sushi restaurant did the dinner shift. All of us that were working that shift went out together. I was the manager and had to leave the party early to open the restaurant. When they all got there ready to work, it was just a shit show. Everyone was absolutely wasted. Our cashier said she was blacked out and woke up putting an order in like mid-shift. One server slapped a baby just by turning and flopping around like a drunk idiot. Baby was in a high chair and the parents didn't even notice since it was so crowded. Thank God. Another server forgot to put an order in that took over an hour. I was just running around babysitting and putting out fires, LOL. Did I mention the constant bathroom trips to quote-unquote recharge, if you know what I mean?
Oh, of course everybody's recharging, especially if they were drinking. Can we go back to the slapping a baby? That's horrifying.
At least no one noticed.
The baby must have noticed. Oh my God. Like,
if you work in a restaurant where it attracts a lot of families, a lot of people let their kids run around, as all of us servers know. And like, it's hard enough dodging toddlers when they think that it's a playground and you're trying to like work a busy shift. But I could understand like bumping into a kid in that sense, but smacking a baby in a high chair, that's pretty bad.
Oh, that's pretty rough. Okay, let's see this other one. Oh, this is a good one. Okay. So my coworker and I ordered 2 Bud Brownies from a friend during our shift at a Mexican food restaurant that has daily mariachi. Well, when my friend brought it over, we both took a bite and my coworker decided it wasn't working. So she ate about 75% of it. Oh, now, I ain't no bitch, so I ate it too. Long story short, an hour before closing, we could not function. I could barely open my eyes. She kept telling me she felt that she was flying and I just had to sit down. Luckily, we worked long enough at the place that our boss was not mad. He actually ended up helping us close and clean. We chilled and ate before he took us home. There was no way we were driving that high. Those brownies were packed. Okay, first of all, hats off to the manager coming in clutch and being cool and doing their side work.
Yeah. I don't think that can be expected at every restaurant. That's exceptional for sure.
Yeah. Like, I feel like we have a manager that would be cool in that scenario. But he wouldn't be like, oh, have a seat. Like, I'll do your work for you. He would probably sit down and watch us and laugh, watch us trying to do it. So,
yeah.
I mean,
I also love that person decided to include that they have a mariachi band. I kept waiting for that to like come up again in the story. And it was like, no, that's just, I don't know if that's like a humble brag. They're like, hey, I worked at this place. Yeah, we had a daily mariachi band. So,
I think it's just to really set the scene. Like, you know what it's like to have too many edibles and then loud mariachi music playing while still trying to act sober.
It does paint a very, yeah, that's true. That must be an overwhelming environment for sure.
I'm getting anxiety just
All right, on to the next. This person says, I went back to visit my old serving job for a drink after spending 14 months abroad. And I woke up at 3 a.m. in one of the rooms that they had closed off for the night. I set the alarm off and had to call the bartender to tell me how to get out. So this person like went in as a guest to their old employment, whatever, their old restaurant, got hammered, and apparently no one noticed that they passed out in like a side dining room. And then they woke up at 3 a.m. and they were the only one in the building. And it was locked.
And they couldn't get out.
That's pretty, that's, yeah.
I think I'm very confused.
He or she was not on the clock, so that's great. But that's, I mean, that's still your, yeah, you're only that drunk there because it's your employer or former employer.
And I love that this person also sent a second story, which was my favorite, because they sent another message after and they said, also, was so hammered once, I asked two dudes how they wanted their chicken sandwich cooked, and my mortal enemy, the irrit chef, happened to overhear, but he couldn't prove anything. I've definitely done that too. Not being so fucked up, but just being so on autopilot, asking how they want things, like, once I asked somebody how they wanted a pizza cooked, because I heard it wrong.
Oh boy.
But this person parties to get that fucked up that you're like passing out at your old place of employment.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I understand, like, you know, not we all, but I've worked at some places where they like definitely give you free drinks if you go in like off the clock or whatever, they hook you up. But
always.
Going there and getting that hammered that you fall, and also how did no one notice? Like, did he pay his tab? That's wild.
So many questions. It's like, what was it? One of the last episodes we did, it was at the horror stories, and somebody said, oh, the cook went out because he stabbed someone that stole
my stabbed a homeless guy. And it was just like so matter of fact. Like that, I was like, you're not gonna give us any more. Any more details?
So many questions.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
This is a short, funny one. So it was a St. Paddy's Day shift, and they did a bartender challenge. So it says the place I worked ran 7 bartenders on that day, and we would see who could finish an entire bottle of Jameson on the shift and keep working.
Oh, hell no. Everybody knows working St. Patrick's Day blows because everybody's just getting hammered. So obviously, you gotta have a little something to feel okay to be here. But a whole bottle of Jameson, you're just setting yourself up for failure.
Yeah, you're gonna. But I mean,
dealing with drunk people is like dealing with stupid toddlers. It's. Mm-hmm. So you have to have a drink.
On days like St. Paddy's Day and Cinco de Mayo, and when it's like people come in at like 10 a.m. and they're just like hammered by 11 a.m. And then it's like, I don't know how you're going to get through this day. And I feel so bad for all of the bartenders and wait staff that are going to have to deal with these people that have been blackout since noon. I just like, but I mean, I've never done it.
Yeah, I've never had a challenge like that to be like, let's see how fucked up I can get during this shift, ever. That's savage. But I mean, when you're a server, balancing social life and work, it's gray area, fine line. Oh man, yeah, I don't know.
Things blur, for sure.
I knew we'd get some savage stories from this topic. All right, let's see. I was serving during a Sunday rush. I go to my purse for some makeup, discover I had some leftover MDMA from a show, just enough for 2 people. So anyways, my coworker and I dropped full hit of MA each during a church rush, mind. I don't remember any of it. Great tips, 10 out of 10, should have gotten fired. Could have gotten yelled at that day. Could have forgotten all of the ranch. God only knows. Ignorance is bliss. Yeehaw.
Yeehaw. I love that.
I feel like you can't be on MDMA and people not know, you know?
That's like, true of so many things. Like, I feel like it's basically, if it's anything besides like weed and alcohol, which not even many people can get away with. But if you're into anything beyond that, no, you're not fooling anyone.
Like, yeah.
Even if they don't know that you're like specifically on something, everyone around you is thinking like, that person's fucked up. That this is real weird.
100%. I've worked somewhere where there was one girl that was notorious for just being on Adderall, like all the time. And you could tell when she was peeking on it and like maybe mixed it with coffee because she was just like, and then she would have a day where she must have just been out between scripts because she must have been like upping her doses, not taking them as prescribed. And everybody knew when she didn't take her Adderall. Everybody knew. It was just like a thing.
You mean people with Adderall prescriptions don't take them as prescribed? Well, that is news to me. I am just shocked and appalled.
I know. Everyone
I've ever met with an Adderall prescription is like, if you know anyone that wants to buy them, tell me. Like, don't you need this? Why are you selling it?
Legal meth. It totally is. but MDMA at work, no freaking shot. Like every time I've done it, I'm like, can't even like keep my eyes straight. Like I'm you're rolling. Like I don't understand how you could ever serve on MDMA ever. I can hardly be a human being at a party on that drug.
I don't understand how people serve on a lot of things. Like I said, if I had like a couple drinks, I'd be like, no, this is too scary now that I'm going to fuck things up and I'm forgetting things.
Yeah,
there is a level of, I don't think admiration is the right word, but just like, I'm a little impressed by people that can just pull things off when they're so fucked up, because I am not one of them.
Yeah, what's really crazy is where we work, our manager had a stroke or something, and something happened and he had to leave. And we had a staff member that was able to step in and be the managerial position. And she had left because she worked that morning or something, but he had this stroke and had to go, or something terrible happened. I don't totally remember the situation. You might. They had to have a manager come in, and she was the only one that could. She had just gotten off shift and taken a huge rip. And so she wrote in the group chat, she's like, guys, I am stoned right now, but obviously somebody needs to come and close the rest. Like, you have to have a manager there and somebody has to close this place down. So she went in stoned, and everybody was like so grateful for her for doing that. I would not even want to do that. If I had just gotten home from work and was like finally changed and relaxed and high, and then suddenly there was an emergency and I had to go like step up, that's such a change of gears.
Yeah, kudos to her. I don't think I knew that story, but damn. I once got a call. It was like a holiday weekend, and I somehow wound up with like a 4th of July off on a Saturday, and I was like, how am I not worse scheduled? It was amazing.
Wow.
So I was out with friends, and of course it's a 4th of July on a Saturday, so we're like boating and drinking, and like I get a phone call because, surprise, surprise, somebody called out on a holiday. And they're like, we desperately need you to come in. And I was like, I want to be honest with you, I've had a little bit to like, they were like, oh, okay. And I was like, yeah, I would not be any help to you. And then I swear to God, that manager was like, well, maybe you could just like food run or like help with like hosting. And I was like, I don't think you're understanding. Well, my answer is no, and no means no. Second of all, I do not belong interacting with guests at your establishment today. I would do you a disservice. Just let me be drunk on a boat.
Some managers be like that though. Can you still come in?
Kudos to the coworker of ours that stepped up and saved the day, because I feel like I'd be like, oh, that sucks, but I can't. I cannot.
Gonna have to figure that one out yourself, guys.
Oh, geez. I lost. Where even are we now?
Our bartender. Okay.
Yeah, we got sidetracked. Okay, so this one, our bartender made special brownies, and I took a bite and was like, oh, I'm good, these aren't too bad. Then bam, a few minutes later, it hits me, and then the owner's son walks in, who is our boss, and he orders a soup. So I like go get the soup and I'm carrying it over and it feels like an eternity going through this process of serving it to him. I finally set it down and he just asked me if I'm okay. He's like, are you good? And I said, oh yeah, I just have a bad migraine. I was tripping bad. The brownies were good though, LOL. That's a nightmare. Yeah. I like, it's stressful enough to think about like waiting on a normal guest if I were effed up, but having an owner or an owner's son, no, I would have a panic attack.
Yeah. And I do feel like, so Bertie, being on Xanax, no fucking way. Being high, I get it. I've been to work a little bit high before, but an edible, like that's just, there's no way you could take an edible and not just be totally fucked up. It's not like it'll put you on a good kind of functioning level. That's a nightmare. And I hate serving like corporate, whoever your boss is. It's just such sober. A high expectation. Yeah, even sober. I couldn't imagine being a little bit under the influence or a lot of under the influence, apparently. And then it's a great excuse to be like, oh, I just don't feel well. But that goes for any of the drugs that you're on. Anytime somebody accuses you, oh, I'm feeling a little bit faint today.
You're like, hey, you're sweating profusely and your eyes are super dilated. And you're like, oh yeah, I have a headache.
Woke up on the wrong side of the bed. Maybe I should go home.
Yeah, I don't know. No, I feel like I probably have malaria or something. I should probably go home.
People are crazy. Okay, we've got another one. Me and my best friend worked a New Year's Eve party at a yacht club one year. Got so fucked up, we started playing the drums from the band that was playing that night. My boss drove a couple of us home since it was a little bit of a far drive, and I threw up in his car. Thumbs up.
Another person puked in their boss's car.
What? Shout out to those bosses, though, that don't want the liability of them possibly getting hurt on the way home.
If I got so drunk anywhere that my boss had to drive me home and I threw up in their car, I don't think I would ever speak to them again. I think I would ghost and call no-show. That's wild. Just
mortified. But I love the fact that they started playing the drums. Because sometimes you'll serve, like, this sounds like it was a yacht party. We've definitely worked private parties. I've cocktailed private events where you reach a point in the night where they're like, have a drink with us, still work, but also enjoy yourself. But to get that fucked up that you are like
playing the drums,
banging on the drums, that's pretty epic. I
could see you doing that. I feel like depending on how much they let you drink, eventually they'd be like, Presley, you're good, stop working. And you'd be dancing and playing the drums. I can see it.
Yeah, well, when it's a private party like that, there really are no rules.
You're like, oh, I started working this private party on a yacht, and then the next thing I knew, I was in Ibiza for like 2 weeks, and it was wild. That's your life. My life is like, I worked a private party, and they saw me when I showed up, and were like, no.
Oh, shut up. You're so gorgeous. I would love to have you work my party.
Okay, stop flirting with me.
I love flirting with you.
Am I up next? I can't.
I think this is the last one. This is the last one.
We've gone through them. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, here goes. I went into a dinner shift after having a few too many drinks on break. Common theme. I thought I was going to be sick, so I went into the bathroom stall to just like chill for a minute. And I ended up sitting down on the toilet fully clothed and I passed out. What I didn't know was I never locked the stall door. When I came to, the door was wide open and there were customers standing there looking at me. That's
embarrassing. I hate running into guests in the bathroom. Like sometimes if the employee bathroom is being used, you have to go use the regular bathroom. It's like the most uncomfortable thing to run into a woman that I'm serving in the bathroom. It's like, what are the proper mannerisms for that? Hey, like, do you smile? Do you ignore eye contact? Like, but to be passed out on a toilet.
Yeah, that's something. Most of the places I've worked don't allow employees to use guest bathrooms. It's very few places where it's been acceptable. And it's probably for, like you said, the awkwardness of like, oh, hey, we just like peed next to each other and I'm going to go serve you a another Manhattan. So that's like, you know, it's a weird dynamic, but to fully pass out in a guest bathroom on the toilet and have people see you, yikes.
You'd think that you would lose your job for something like that. Like that would be like a zero tolerance kind of thing.
Yeah.
Nobody has gotten fired from any of these stories. In these stories, nobody has lost their jobs.
Yeah. I worked with a girl. I forgot about this until that story. I worked with a girl at a place where we weren't allowed to use guest bathrooms, but she did anyway. She snuck in there and she had a heroin problem, which came out later. But she shot up in the guest bathroom and then not fatally OD'd, but like passed out. And a guest had to tell the hostess and be like, there's like one of your employees passed out in the bathroom. And I think she said that she had like a seizure or something and she kept her job, but that's when it started to like, questions started to be asked and eventually it came out that she had a drug problem. But it was I forgot about that until this story. It's kind of sad.
I feel like a lot of people in the drug industry do have drug and alcohol abuse issues to an extreme. I mean, a lot of us use alcohol and weed as a coping mechanism from a shit shift. So if you get into something harder, the lifestyle of the industry kind of allows you to do that. If you have served, you have serving under your belt, you can go into that autopilot mode, which we're all in most of the time. It does make it a lot easier to do your job even when you're fucked up, because you can fake it so easily. And a lot of managers in restaurants became managers because they used to be servers. So they get it. And most of the time they'll have your back.
I think it depends on how egregious your offense is. You know what I mean? Like if you have a shift where you show up and you're a little messed up and you're just like, oh, I'm having an off day, there are some managers that might cut you slack. But if you're passing out in the guest bathroom when you're not even supposed to be using it, I don't know if every manager would be as chill. That's a wild thing. But I also think that like certain industries feed into like unhealthy lifestyles. We've talked about that before. Serving is one of them. But there's also like that cliche of like Wall Street guys that are like coked up out of their minds all the time. So I feel like certain industries have certain demands where you just like get into these routines and maybe they attract people that have certain behavioral issues or whatever, but it's like, I don't think it's just serving. I think that people in all sorts of industries, can I relate to what you were saying about autopilot? Like you get good enough at your job, and if you have an outside drug or alcohol problem, you get good enough at hiding it and still being able to do your job because you know what you're doing.
Yeah, you can juggle.
It's wild. Yeah, some of the stuff that comes out. And that's like every time there is like a high profile like drug scandal, and it's always you hear the facts of like so-and-so would show up to work like this and had this many clients and everybody said they were a great upstanding citizen, and it's like, yeah, but they had a meth problem or whatever it is. You're like, it's wild how people can incorporate it into their lives and use it to like get through, and it takes some time before it catches up to you.
And I feel like sometimes you would do it and be like, man, that was dumb. Like, not gonna do that again. But some people are like, man, I got away with it. Like, it's cool. I've done it before. Let me ask you this. Have you had an experience as a guest in a restaurant where your server is kind of off and you're like, they're definitely not sober?
I can't think of anything like specifically, but I do feel like I remember being somewhere with a friend once where we thought our server was high, because not when he greeted us, he seemed really with it. And where was this place? I'm having like flashbacks, but yeah, I remember him like being gone for a minute. I mean, he probably took a smoke break or something. And then he came back and just seemed like his whole demeanor changed and service got a little shoddy after that. And I do remember thinking, I bet you he just smoked on his break.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely have. I can't think of any examples other than the fact that once, this is a little bit off topic, I was flying somewhere and there was drama with the pilot. Like we were waiting for the pilot. The pilot came, and then one of the women in the front row was complaining to the flight attendant. The pilot was drunk and like slurring. But he was still in the, yeah, that was like a whole, obviously he's flying a plane. We are serving tables. But that was disturbing, that when we landed, I finally like asked the flight attendant, and they're like, oh, there's some discrepancies. We think that the pilot didn't, because I guess they can go out and drink, obviously, on their layovers and stuff, but it's required that they have like 7 sober hours between. And they're like, we don't think that he did that. And I was like, oh God. So it's a job like serving. It's like, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? You're going to slap a baby and, you know, wake up on the toilet.
Slap a baby and wake up on the toilet. Okay. That's a day. If that's, yeah, that's when you wake up and you go, all I remember is I slapped a baby and now I'm waking up on a toilet. So let's reevaluate some of our choices. It's funny how you tell that like flying story, because we're here, we use the phrase on autopilot a lot. We're like, oh, it's fine. If you get drunk, you'll be fine. Just rely on autopilot. And I'm like, funny how that's a terrifying thought if you actually think about a pilot and an autopilot. They're like, oh yeah, no, I'm good, but it's fine. We'll just be on autopilot.
Yeah. Well, these days flying is super, super, like it's literally all done on an iPad, but
you're an aviation expert and you know all about flying with iPads.
Well, the last time I was on a private jet,
all right. Fuck you. I'm out of here.
The last time
I was on a private jet, they just like flew it from their iPad. That's
But it's true. We were going somewhere and I like woke up really, because we did an overnighter, and I woke up really early because I wanted to watch like the sunrise. So I went into the pilot cockpit area, and they were like, oh, here, like you should get into, it's super easy. Look, you just do this and you just got to watch it. And it's literally all done from an iPad. It's pretty incredible. Anybody could fly a plane.
That's insane. I want to.
Right?
I want your life.
Well, that is not my life. You know my life. Come on. Okay, we've been living in the past. This is, I love doing these podcasts because we get to kind of go back and talk about work and all these crazy stories. But when we hang up, you realize we are still in quarantine and it's 2020 and nobody's flying anywhere right now. Well, I just want to stay great. Right here. I don't want to think about real life.
How are you doing with quarantine and all that?
I have my good days. I have my bad days. But for the most part, I'm really actively trying to stay positive and like kind of stay productive. I give myself days to do nothing and my goals are bare minimum, but trying to keep the mind stimulated, and having this podcast with you has been great. Really gives me something to like be excited about and talk about, and like recording episodes like this where we get to sit and just reminisce on all these crazy things. It's part of me is loving having this time not seeing tables, but on the other side of it, I'm going a little bit bonkers. I'm drinking a lot, I'm smoking a lot, you know, drugs are
during quarantine turn into like an AA meeting. I feel like, hey, Chris, how are you holding up in quarantine? You're like, I'm drinking a lot. I have a problem. I'm Wesley. I'm an alcoholic.
That's what this, we're not going to call this fucked up stories anymore. We're not going to call it under the influence. We're going to call it AA, server AA.
SAA.
SAA.
Server Alcoholics Anonymous.
No, but we came up with this idea when we did our live, and we were just getting so many stories under the influence, so we thought it would be funny to bring it all together and to share the stories and kind of laugh about how wild people are.
Yeah, and anyone who is in the industry and listens to this podcast and does not partake is probably horrified and like, oh my God, all these people are so terrible. That, again, general disclaimer, this is not representative of the industry as a whole, but it is a reality of certain people in the industry, for sure.
1,000%. And with all this being said, we want to thank you all for sending your stories in. And for the next episode, we want our listeners, so we're not going to announce this on our Instagram pages, we want you guys who are listening to this to shoot us a message. And what's the topic?
how we feel about going back to work, because some places are already starting to, like Georgia, I think, is up and running, which is wild. So how are you feeling about going back to work? Are you excited and antsy and ready? Are you scared? Are you more comfortable with the money we're making now? Do you have genuine health concerns? Are we anxious about what it's going to look like? Let us know. Share your ideas, share your feelings. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, as we're recording this, some parts of the country are opening back up and some restaurants are going to be opening back up. That's just as of right now, as we're recording this. Obviously, things change every day. But yeah, shoot us over messages and let us know how you are feeling about it. Continue
tagging us in your Instagram stories. I love that. When you tag at the Server Life Podcast, we can laugh along with you, share it to our page if it's good enough. No. If it's good enough. Follow at server_life, follow at the Server Life Podcast, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It really does make our day. We would say Spotify too, because we know a lot of you listen on Spotify, but you obviously can't leave us reviews there. But tell a friend about us. Spread the love.
Yeah. And thanks for listening. We really do hope that you're hanging in there. And we do hope that this podcast can add a little joy to your day. I know it's not the best of times, but we're for sure going to come out of this so much stronger. And I really do believe that, even if it's not returning to work, or if it is returning to work. But keep listening, share your stories, and maybe you'll have a chance to be featured on an episode.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys. Till next time.